All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy Friday, guys. So much going on. You know what? Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest site. Joining us now, ESPN broadcaster. He was on the call for UVM and Stony Brook last night on ESPNU. It's Robert Lee. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing awesome. Right off the bat, what'd you think of the Catamounts?
You know, I'll be honest, it was the first time I've seen them play this year, or maybe I saw a little bit of the Virginia game. You know, I don't think either team would say they played their best game. You know, it's tough to say from that game last night, a little bit of an ugly game, but, you know, showed a lot of guts, you know, really not playing their best and still coming away with a good road win.
Yeah, Robert, what impressed you most about them last night? I mean, that was quite a run at the end there.
Yeah, I think it's the resolve. I mean, clearly Anthony Lamb was, you know, taken out of his game a bit. He's the focal point for every team defensively. And it was guys like Shungu and then Everett Duncan late. You know, it's not always going to be your star player's night. And, you know, when you have other guys, you know, I hate to refer to them as other guys, but, you know, kind of more secondary, third, fourth, fifth option guys stepping up and playing big and leading you to victory, you know, against your biggest rival in the league right now, I think that says a lot about the team.
Robert, you've seen a lot of mid-major powers in your time. Where does what UVM has done over the last decade plus, where does that rank to you in terms of what you've seen mid-majors accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible run that John Becker and the team's on. I mean, to win 20 games, and I'm not a huge 20-win guy. I mean, there's so many games now. You know, teams can win 20 games and lose 15. What does that really mean? But, you know, that's not what Vermont has been doing, you know, winning 24, 25, 27 games. It's just an incredible run to be able to sustain the success, and it's unusual because, let's be honest, most of the mid-major teams that go on a run like that, their coach leaves. I think of something similar in the MAC with Iona, with Tim Kloos. You know, he's the greatest coach in MAC history, and that's because of all the success he's had, but it's also because he hasn't left after winning two or three conference titles like a Fran McCaffrey at Siena or somebody like that. You know, usually those guys vault to a bigger money, bigger profile job. And John Becker, I mean, talk about, you know, striking gold there. I mean, he's been incredibly successful, and he's stuck around to build that legacy.
You know, we're focused on, look, the win last night was great. We're focused on the number one seed in the tournament. They're closing in on that. And then the goals up here are much bigger than that. They're looking to get to the tournament and win games in the tournament this year, something they haven't really done under John Becker. So did this look like a team to you that could make noise come March?
Not playing the way they did last night, to be honest with you. You know, it always depends on the matchups. I know they got a tough matchup in Florida State last year. That's a team with a lot of athletic, long, tall, ridiculously big guys. You know, Vermont doesn't strike me as the most athletic team. There's not a lot of high major athletes on the team, which is not to say they can't win. You know, there's different parts of the game. It's not all about athleticism. You know, they're shooting, they're playing the game the right way, and they do have a, you know, high major guy in Anthony Lamb. But again, he's not a guy who's going to destroy you with his athleticism. So, you know, they would have to play better than I saw last night if they get, you know, a 12, 13, 11 seed somewhere in that range, and they go up against, you know, a quote-unquote big school team that's got a lot of athletes that's going to, you know, get up in your face and really take away some of what Vermont wants to do. Not impossible, but they would have to play better than I saw last night.
You know, interesting because Joe Lunardi has him, like, they had him at his 12 seed. They dropped him to a 13 seed. Have him playing Villanova in the first round right out here in Albany. How about that, huh?
Yeah, you know, Albany's a site for the tournament this year. First time in 17 years. That's where I live. I mean, I think it's sold out. I mean, the fans are really excited about it. That's the great part when the tournament goes to some of these places that it doesn't go all the time. You know, the people there are really excited about it. And I know there's definitely a buzz in Albany. And in Vermont would feel right at home.
Oh,
pretty much owned Siena over the last decade or so when they were playing. So it would be familiar surroundings for them.
Now, Robert, you've been the voice of a mid-major team that's had a lot of success with, you know, with mm-hmm. Siena and some Siena teams that played into the NCAA tournament and actually won some games. What's mm-hmm. that ride like for the broadcaster?
You know, it's unbelievable. My wife and I were just actually talking about this the other day because she came to a game, a Siena game earlier this week, which is not something she does a lot anymore because we have young kids and it's just hard. But and we were talking about, you know, some of our best memories. We've been married for 11 years. We basically met right when Fran McCaffrey took over Siena.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of our best memories involve Siena games. It's, you know, it's just, it's incredible. I mean, it was really my entire life outside of my home life. You know, for a long time, you know, in 08, 09, and 10, the team won the MAC championship. In 09, they beat Ohio State in the greatest game I've ever seen. And my wife and I jokingly call that the second greatest night of our lives behind our wedding. You know, she was there. It was Dayton. They hit a couple of threes in overtime. They beat Ohio State. It's just an indescribable ride. I mean, I love what I'm doing now with ESPN. But let's face it, I don't really care who wins. I don't care if Vermont wins. I don't care if Stony Brook wins. I just want a good game. I want an exciting atmosphere. But when you're associated with a team, I met the Vermont radio guy, Jake Marsh, last night. Nice kid. And I call him a kid because I'm old. but, you know, it's there's nothing quite like being the voice of the team, of the Catamounts, the Saints, whatever. People associate with you. And it means more to you whether or not the team wins or loses. I mean, it doesn't mean you're a homer, but everyone would be lying if they said it wasn't more fun when the team's winning like that.
You know, I use Sienna and the teams that you were a broadcaster for all the time to combat Arnie's point. You have a team that played really well for a bunch of years in a row, and then those key contributors left and graduated, and the team was left in ruins for a couple of years and is now building itself back up. Arnie wants to use this success and catapult Vermont to the Big East. I mean, so what do you think about the idea of these really good mid-majors changing conferences?
You know, first of all, they've got to want you. So that, you know, that's one big thing. I see it both ways. There was talk about Siena moving to the Atlantic 10 back in the day, and then, you know, Siena hasn't even come close to the MAC championship in 10 years now. So these things are cyclical. Eventually, Vermont won't be as good as they are right now. In theory, they might slip back to 500. They might go through a downstretch. You never know. And I think, you know, the team I use a lot as an example is Fordham. Fordham was in the MAC way back in the day, you know, 20, 30 years ago. They moved to the Atlantic 10, you know, and to be honest with you, they're terrible every year, and they've been bad for two decades now. Be careful what you wish for. I mean, yeah, the America East is a one-bid league. Yeah, you're never going to get, you know, an at-large bid out of the America East, but dominating your league or finishing in the top two or three and having a chance to win the title every year is definitely, there could be worse scenarios.
You know, one of yes, we agree, Rich. Yay. So clap.
Somebody finally said it.
Oh, I'm not done with him yet.
Put Arnie in his place.
I'm not done with him yet.
Robert, sorry, Arnie.
No, that's okay, Robert.
Robert, I want to ask you this before we let you go. As someone who does travel around the mid-major landscape, how much do facilities play a part, you think, in how good or bad programs are? And the reason why I ask, UVM plays in a very outdated arena, an outdated gym. They're getting a new facility in the next couple of years, and we think that that's going to elevate this program even further. So what kind of facilities do you see when you go out and do games for some of these programs of Vermont's caliber?
Yeah, it ranges. I would say Vermont, I've been to Patrick Gym, you know, probably 10 times. It's probably about average for what I see. Stony Brook's place, I thought, was very nice and good size for them. You know, it obviously helps. This year I'm doing a lot of Missouri Valley games. Loyola's got a nice arena, holds about 6,000. Northern Iowa, I'm going there on Sunday.
That
they have a beautiful arena. It's about 15 years old. Yeah. Seats about 6,500. Mm. A huge advantage, you know. And contrast that with last week I was at Indiana State. To be honest with you, their arena wasn't very nice. It was about 30, 40 years old, and it felt like a place that was 30 or 40 years old. There's no energy. You know, the fans are disengaged, and I think it makes a huge difference. It can't hurt, I'll put it that way, to get a nice new sparkling arena, you know, practice facilities. A lot of these teams have those now, the weight rooms, all that stuff. It only helps to get better facilities because, you know, let's be honest, high school kids like that.
Yeah. You know, and Robert, I would have thought you would have been on my side on the mid-majors considering Gonzaga, San Diego State, Dayton. Three mid-majors in the top five. How about that, huh?
No, I hear you. Yeah. I'm not going to call Gonzaga a mid-major. I know they play in a mid-major conference. Right, their budget would indicate that they're not a mid-major. They're punching way above their weight class, the teams that they're playing against in their league. But, no, it can be done. Yeah. It can be done. I mean, you look at the run Vermont's had. You look at the run Iona's had. Siena had 10 years ago. You get there. You win a couple of games in the tournament. And you're on your way. You know, look at Butler. That's a team was in a mid-level league. Now they're in the Big East and they're competitive. They're very competitive. So, the key is the coaching hires. And that's where Siena's, you know, kind of fallen off a bit. They haven't, you know, made the right hire, missed with a couple. So keep Coach Becker there as long as he can. And if he does leave, you've got to hit a home run with the next one, too. Otherwise, you never know.
He's Robert Lee, ESPN broadcaster. Had the game last night, UVM and Stony Brook. He broadcasts for ESPNU. Robert, always a pleasure. We know it's a busy time of year for you, so we appreciate you stopping by.
Pleasure, guys. Talk to you again soon.